Psalm 103, and let's begin reading. Follow with me in verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the privilege of gathering together around your holy word. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you would take these moments that we have during this service and that you would speak to our hearts. Forgive us for those times when we're not filled with the gratitude that we should have, and help us to continually give you thanks. And throughout this service, may you receive honor and glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The importance of praising God is critical to maintaining spiritual health. And the Word of God commands us time and again that we are to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that you can see in the Scripture that a man or a woman that is grateful and thankful is a man or a woman that will stay in close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the first signs of someone that begins to drift from the Lord is an heart not filled with gratitude. Because soon there is complaining, and soon there is a spirit that we deserve more, and soon there is a negligence towards the things of God. And we were saying today with our staff devotion how that oftentimes in our fast-paced lives, we don't pause to thank the Lord as we should. And I'm thankful that we have a night like tonight and a week like this week to give thanks to the Lord. I heard of a lady that was looking for a turkey, and she was just in her last moments of shopping, and she couldn't find one that was the right size. And finally, she went to one of the young men working there in the meat department, and she said, "Don't we have any bigger turkeys around here? Is there nothing bigger?" She said, "These are the measliest turkeys I have ever seen. Is there not one any bigger than these turkeys?" And the boy looked at her and said, "No, ma'am, we don't have any more bigger turkeys. All the ones we have are dead. They're not growing any longer." You know, the fact of the matter is sometimes we just can't get it right. We just can't find something to be thankful for. And so the psalmist said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." You see, when you can't get the right turkey or you can't seem to figure out what to be thankful for, if you're saved, you can always thank the Lord for saving your soul. You can always give him praise for what he's done for you. I want you to notice tonight three truths about thanksgiving found from Psalm 103. And I want you to see, first of all, the instruction of praise. The Bible is very clear in the instruction given. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Notice the exhortation to the soul. Notice David writing this psalm and giving himself an exhortation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The word bless is a word for worship. Worship the Lord. And this is a night of worshiping the Lord. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. With all of my emotion, with all of my thought, praising God. I'm sad to say that oftentimes in singing, if we're not careful, our minds can be distracted. And if we're not careful, there's many other things going on. And David said, Lord, as I stand before you, I want to bless your name. I want to praise your name and bless the Lord, O my soul. And notice the phrase, all that is within me. I want to focus completely on you, Lord, with everything that I have. And I believe one of the signs of a strong church is when men sing to the Lord, when men bless the Lord with all of their soul, and when we stand and when we proclaim his goodness. And so Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. And so we join with the psalmist tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How about your soul? Does it need exhortation tonight? Do you need to be reminded tonight to bless the Lord, to thank the Lord for the things that he has done for you, exhorting the soul? And then notice, secondly, exalting his name. The instruction is not merely exhortational to the soul, but it is exaltation to his name. And notice this in verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, the name of the Lord is to be praised because it is a holy name. And in this day and age in which so oftentimes the Lord's name is taken in vain and used as a curse word, we need to lift that name up tonight. Bless the Lord. Bless His holy name. And it is to be an exalted name. One author said, for the child of God, the primary meaning of the fear of God is veneration and honor, reverence and awe. It is the attitude that elicits from our hearts adoration and love, reverence and honor. It focuses not upon the wrath of God, but upon the majesty, holiness, and transcendent glory of God. You know, I believe tonight that we need to just hit the reset button on the name of the Lord. And when we hear the name of the Lord, and I tell you, it's a beautiful name in every language. It's a beautiful name. When you hear the name Jesus Christ, it is a beautiful name. It is to be high and lifted up. And we need to exalt that name. Listen, when someone says we're going to sing now and we hear the name of the Lord, we ought to sing. I never heard the song we just had a minute ago, something about here I am in surrender and all that's fine. I don't know how many Baptists really are surrendered. I hope we're surrendered. But do you know my favorite word in that song we just heard was the name Lord. Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. We say that. I hope it's true. But you know the best part of that song? All to Jesus I surrender. The best part of any song is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to just recognize that tonight. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You see, we have victory tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes in this self-exalting society in which we live, we do not give thanks and we do not give exaltation to the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's why we see, first of all, the instruction of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Notice, secondly, the insight of praise. We see the instruction. But now let's notice the insight that comes from this passage, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now notice that phrase, forget not all His benefits or all of His blessings. And hear the phrase, forget not. Let's say that together, forget, forget not. There's something about human nature that just takes for granted so many things. We are blessed with children, and we pray and pray for healthy children, and then we just take for granted that they're healthy. We are blessed with salvation and the Bible and forgiveness, and we're so thankful for that. Boy, when a man first gets saved, he just can almost skip off the platform. But sometimes after a while, we forget. Sometimes we can come to church and say, man, listen to that choir and that preaching and thank the Lord for all of these wonderful nursery workers, the Christian school. And then after a while, say, well, you know, whatever. If we're not careful, we forget. You take a man that first falls in love. And that man opens the door for his wife, about trips over himself to open the door. And that man tries to meet every need that she has and take care of every need and tells her she looks pretty and does everything he can. Because he's in that first love stage. But as the book of the Revelation tells us, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You see, sometimes the reason that we forget is because our love for the Lord is not where it should be. So the psalmist says in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. It's vital then that we forget not the benefits of the Lord. It was Abraham Lincoln's proclamation when he said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. And this nation has forgotten God. But in the church house tonight, we need to say, Lord, help me not to forget thy benefits. Sometimes people, when they're having a job interview, they'll ask, what are the benefits of this job? And by the way, I don't know that that's the first question to ask. I teach the students in my Bible college class, you don't even need to ask about those things. You just need to find one thing. Is it God's will? I came to Lancaster Baptist Church not for the benefit package. The benefit package was non-existent, but God's calling was very existent. And sometimes we think about the benefits. What are the benefits that I get? And you know, by the way, some of those very benefits we can take for granted. Some of those very benefits. And I'm just saying tonight, have you taken time to count your benefits? To count your blessings? Do you have benefits? Do you have some form of health benefit? Do you have tonight some benefit of groceries in your cupboard? Do you have tonight some benefit of a place to sleep? Do you have tonight the benefit of salvation? I'm just saying, forget not your benefits. We have many benefits tonight. And the Bible is clear that we should not forget the benefits. So let's think about a few of them tonight. Notice, first of all, remember his salvation. Notice, if you would, verse number 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, how many of you are thankful tonight that he forgives all of our iniquities? Amen? Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In other words, an infinite amount of space has been separated. God has no recalling of your sin. He has forgiven your sin. It's been placed upon his son at Calvary. And he says, I want you sometimes just to stop and remember what I did for you at Calvary. I have forgiven you. I have healed your diseases. I have made you whole spiritually. Colossians 1 and 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his Son, even the forgiveness of sin. And I just wonder, when was the last time you pondered that I was a sinner, lost, undone, on my way to hell, and somehow God reached down to me and got the gospel to me, and I received Christ as Savior, and now I have the benefit of having my sins forgiven, having the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God, having a home in heaven, having all of the fellowship of the saints, having Jesus Christ to tell me that I am accepted in the Beloved, I am adopted into his family, I am justified, I am sanctified. How about those benefits tonight? I'm telling you, when you came into the family of God, you got a great benefit package. Forget not all of his benefits. We have redemption through his blood. He forgives us. He redeems us. Notice in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God redeems us from destruction. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What a blessing to know. What a blessing to know that he redeems us from destruction. Notice also he rewards us. Verse 4, the Bible says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, in Ephesians 2 and 7, we read that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, God doesn't say, all right, I've forgiven you from your sin, goodbye. But he says, I'm going to be with you all during this earth. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in heaven, he says, I'm going to give you the crowning riches of my presence for all of eternity. I will give you that reward by my grace. Spurgeon said, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God. Thank God tonight for the benefit of his mercy in forgiving us, but also in giving us an eternal home in heaven. And there might be someone here tonight that has never benefited from that mercy. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. But God tonight wants you to know that this forgiveness, this redemption from sin, this adoption into his family, this can be yours if you would but call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be saved. You would have the greatest gift ever given and something to be truly thankful for tonight. Notice he refrains also from judgment by his mercy. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can I get an amen on that right there? He hath not dealt with us according to our sins. God deals with his children not according to what we deserve, but according to his mercy. And I'm so thankful tonight that he has not dealt with me. He's not dealing with you according to your sin, because we all come short of the glory of God. But he has given us a standing before God by his grace. Once again, Charles Spurgeon said, "When a tear is wept by you, think not that your Father does not behold. For like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Your sigh is able to move the heart of Jehovah. Your whisper can incline his ear unto you. Your prayer can stay his hands. Your faith can move his arm. Oh, think not that God sits on high in eternal slumber, taking no account of you." The songwriter said, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." One of our dear men told me tonight, just right before the service, and we've been praying for months, and he said, "I got the email today. The job's moving forward. God's going to provide for me." God will take care of you. And so tonight we remember his salvation, and we remember the mercy that is attached with that salvation for this life and for eternal life. And then notice, secondly, we must remember his supply. When we take time tonight to see the insight of praise, we see in the Word of God that we're told that we're to remember salvation, verse number 3. He forgives all of our iniquities, but we're also to remember the supply that he gives. Look at verse 5, please. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Let's read that verse, shall we? "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now here we see that he provides satisfaction. He satisfies, he enriches. And how many of you know that in Christ we are all eternally rich? And we have been seated in heavenly places. Psalm 107 and verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And so we see here in verse 5, he provides satisfaction. For the Bible says, "He satisfieth thy mouth with good things." Now, how many of you could say that's not my life's verse, but that will be my week's verse this week, all right? And certainly this is a week when we're blessed and we're reminded that with all of the trials in America, every single one of us are going to be fed this week, and for that we should give thanks. We should always be thankful for God's provision. Brother Navarrete was speaking to me this morning, and of course he's preaching at the Spanish service right now, but he said,